One interesting thing about those early days was, unlike most other software that runs out there on people's PCs or on servers or something, most of the time it's anonymous. When you connect to Amazon, you have no idea what's running behind Amazon's site, right? Unless they choose to tell you, right? With web servers are the things that talk to the network. And there's a part of that talking that includes the server or the telling you as the client side what type of software it's running, right? So the Apache server, when it's sending you pages, will tell you, hey, I'm Apache version such and such, right? Just for the hell of it. I mean, it was something thrown into the protocol to say, you know, hey, this could be interesting. So in the very early days, and right when we got started, there was a consultancy company in the UK called Netcraft that started doing a survey of all the websites they could find, all the IP addresses, everything, and seeing, okay, what's everybody running, you know? And at first it was the NCSA server from University of Illinois. It was the CERN web server from CERN in Switzerland. And, you know, there were a few others around. And starting in 95, you know, Netscape kind of grew a little bit, you know, and then Apache kind of grew like this. And by 1998, Apache was serving over 50% of the web. And this, you know, consultancy could do this survey every month and chart that growth. And when Microsoft started selling, you know, their commercial web servers, you know, you could chart that a little bit as well. But Microsoft never got above 25% or so. Apache has been at over 50% since 1998. But the interesting thing here is because we could get that data, because you could see that chart, that rise, it was something that you could put not in front of the techies and the geeks to make them feel, you know, pretty good about what they were doing, but you could put it in front of a reporter. Or you could put it in front of a business person and you can say, look, we're running Apache and here's why Apache works, because it works for all these other people, right? You didn't have to pay, you know, somebody to do a survey that may or may not have valid, you know, methodologies or whatever. You didn't have to try to guess how many people were running it out there. And certainly with open source software, you can't count sales, right? You know, number of units shipped or anything like that, because you hand it off and people hand it off to other people and it just spreads like wildfire. But this was a way for us to get numeric. This was a way for us to stand up and credibly say, hey, this is a good thing. And Linux, you know, it was harder to do that with Linux because you have no idea if, you know, Amazon is running on Linux or not, and modulo a few things. So that I think helped give open source in general some credibility as well. You know, was this sense of that it was running behind so many things and here's proof, right? And I think that caused a lot of people to get shaken out of their, you know, comfortable concept of, oh, you know, no one would run that in a production system. No one would, like, you know, trust their business to run on something that was created by a bunch of ponytailed freaks in San Francisco, right? Or around the world, really. You know, doing it for fun. I don't get this. Giving it away, you know, what are they, fools, right? This made it real for people. Made it very real. So that's the history. The other interesting thing is in 1998, we decided, hey, let's form a nonprofit foundation. And the reason we did that was a couple concerns around, you know, if this is being used everywhere and somebody wakes up and says, hey, I've got a patent on, you know, something really dumb, basic or whatever, and you're violating my patent, right? Because we were as individuals, we were authors of the code base, and you know, we would put copyright the Apache group, but there was no legal organization called the Apache group. We ran the risk of losing our houses. We ran the risk of losing, you know, whatever savings that we might have had just in fighting a lawsuit that even if we won, we would have still lost money on, right? We would have still been personally liable for, personally vulnerable to. And we felt it kind of sucks to give something away for free and run the risk of losing it all, of you know, being liable for something like that. We also started to think about the fact that this effort needed something to carry it forward longer than any one individual, right? It didn't carry anyone's name on it, right? It's not like Linux, which has Linus's name on it, right? You know, it's always going to be about Linus. It needed something that would be more permanent than any one individual. Because, you know, after 10 years or even 5 years or 2 years, people move on and they have other interests and such. So we decided in 98 that forming a nonprofit foundation would be the right way to give it that permanence, to also give it a legal kind of construct so that the developers could say, I'm making a contribution to a foundation, and the foundation is what kind of controls that IP, and hands it out to everyone else. And it's the foundation that is liable in the case of any patent lawsuit or anything like that. And the foundation can decide, yeah, if somebody sues us and names an individual, we'll help protect that person. And, you know, we could go out and get donations and try to build some substance behind that foundation and make it real. And in the long run, promote open source ideals and scale beyond just being about a web server, right? Because we had lots of people interested in additional projects that were off to the side. So we've been operational as a foundation since 1998. We have a board of directors. We have a membership base of about 110, 120 core developers, and all that kind of stuff. So it works really well. Sorry about that.